One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Andy Gray.
Hi, I'm Richard Keys, and this is Fluid Football.
In he goes, in he goes, in he goes.
You're too impatient.
Ball goes through there.
Go on.
We're scoring. One. Take him in there. I now want him in here. I want him round the back.
Oh, he's got it.
I'm looking at working the ball.
The thing that we want people to have in this is enjoyment.
Oh.
You won't want it again.
Oh, he's got it.
Pencils out, people. It's the Football Ramble, and it's week two of Ramble, but week one of Premier League. Oh, what a show we've got. We're still gymless, though, but Pete's here.
What can I say to be my son?
And Luke.
Check.
Joins me, Marcus. Let's start with the question, which is inspired by a certain Alan Pardew. If you could push over anyone, who would it be, Pete?
Mine would be a Newcastle footballer.
Yes.
Gabby Obertan, because he's got a massive, heavy head, and perpetual motion and inertia would dictate that he just keep on rolling and rolling and rolling, hit an advertising hoarding, end up in the press box. So that'd be spectacular and fun.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So there you go.
I'm sure there's an equation as well which could say that he would never stop rolling.
Yeah, light bulb head plus push.
You say his head looks like a light bulb. I think it looks like a dinosaur egg.
How many dinosaur eggs bulbous did you run into?
Well, the scene in Jurassic Park where they find out the dinosaurs have been mating.
Oh, so, the film that
for a start
about the real thing that happened.
Oh, clever girl. We need to get it out of the way. Yeah. So you're going over town with his big head. With his big head. So
big old head.
Good old.
He looks like
on
his own. You know those little match players that you used to get.
Yeah.
The big heads.
Yeah. Like match attacks, like something like that.
I was once threatened by a bully because I kicked his little brother's Eric Cantona over a football post, and his head fell off.
Oh no!
Oh no!
My giddy aunt. Sorry to start the show on such a bad note.
On bullying.
Luke,
I'm going to go for Paul Allcock.
Right.
Because Paolo Di Canio pushed him over once and looked like he had a bloody good time. So I think the good thing about pushing Paul Allcock is he obviously is keen to be pushed because he obviously chucks himself on the floor at the same time. So I feel really strong while doing it.
And if you pushed him at a certain angle, you would find out whether he is Allcock or not. It was too easy.
Di Canio did a lovely bit of talking in the week.
I didn't see that.
I'm sure he'd done a bit of talking, but he was basically getting annoyed with the modern state of footballers going, you buy a gold watch, you have Range Rover, you think you are 23, no one to play football no more.
Is the guy from the Meerkat ads?
No, but then he started going, you can't. And because he was so furious, it sounded like he was just swearing. You can't.
I'm pretty sure he did that all of last season as well.
Go for cannot.
That's
my advice.
Alan Partridge episode. No, Alan, you can't.
You can't.
There's no need for that. Excellent. Who's yours? Who's yours to push over?
Big Sepp.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
And the reason why is I'd like to do that thing which I get one of you guys to go down on all fours behind him. And it would be the most, because there's talk now, isn't there, that somebody said to him, I forget who, has basically said, Sepp, sort out FIFA, or you're gone. And I'd really like it for him to go in front of a big crowd, to, you know, be a bit of a surprise. You're no longer needed, Mr. Blatter, as he's about to maybe hand out a trophy. One of you lot behind him, push him over he falls, just to humiliate
don't
him.
Don't involve me, because I'm not going to get involved in pushing over a pensioner.
No, you're not. I'll do the pushing.
Oh, okay. I've got to go behind him.
That's a big pension.
Yeah, that's true.
Could you not just push an ottoman behind him?
Imagine how much a FIFA pension would be.
Oh, big.
Billions.
Big talk.
Who's got the points? Go on, Allcock.
Yes, thank you very much.
Otherwise known as Luke Moore. Definitely.
He's got cock in his name.
Indeed. Without further ado, let's go to the Premier League. It's the first weekend of the season, and it's under our belts. And we're going to start with the champions, where we saw Ricky Lambert celebrate.
Ricky Lambert celebrate!
I think I heard Martin Tyler masturbate at one point. He was giving it the big one, wasn't he? And this is the best league ever.
He probably went into one about that.
Did he?
And it's towards the end of the game. And Gary Neville was sort of bigging him up. But at the same time, Martin Tyler. Yeah, they kept trying to sort of make the point, but at the same time there was football happening. They kept the cut into it. It's a little bit confused.
Well, but Man City won 3-2 against Southampton.
In a game that I'm not sure if anyone's noticed was quite similar to the QPR game. That's definitely not been mentioned, Mark.
And that is Manchester City, not Manchester United, by the way.
Yeah.
Hold the hands up for last week.
I got something wrong about Scotland, but I can't remember what it is.
That's the spirit.
As long as you don't get Glasgow and Edinburgh.
It was going for £1 million drug. Yeah. That it was deal with that. Yeah. So you know,
don't let them behind the curtain. City won 3-2, and for a glorious few moments, we thought that Southampton might have a major upset.
I wouldn't call them glorious.
No,
no.
Well, okay. For the neutral, non-Pompey. Well,
when they went 2-1 up, I was obviously ambivalent about it because I don't ever want to see Southampton win. But at the same time, I was sort of thinking, this is what it's all about.
It was a lovely break for the goal as well.
Oh, superb. Yeah, absolutely
superb.
3-2. One thing that really stuck out in that game for me was the David Silva penalty, which was so bad.
Yeah.
It almost made, and he is so good, that it almost made you feel there was some sort of glitch in the Matrix. But that can't happen. How can he strike a ball so bad? I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's had his one, though, isn't he? With penalties. We've seen Pirlo miss a dink before. Lineker, when he should have had his 49th goal for England, that was an awful penalty.
Yeah.
Maradona took an awful penalty in 1990. Just that all off the top of my head.
Or David Silva
missed one.
There.
Yeah. So. That's almost certainly true.
So good to get it out of the way on the first day of the season, I'd say.
Maybe he was just seeing Shane Long the day before and thought, I could do better
than that. Sergio Aguero got injured. That's bad news.
I'm not sure how serious it is, I'll be at the stage.
Yeah, we don't like to see the best player, well, any player get injured, of course.
There was rumours that it was a cruciate.
Oh dear.
That's what I think on the sideline.
It's one of those things where I believe they've got to wait for the swelling to go down before they can scan it.
We shall have to wait. Jack Rodwell started in a midfielding position.
Not in libero, but we can still hope.
Not in libero. Well, they didn't go for a back three.
No.
So when that back three...
They were back three at times.
Well, that's it, yeah. Do you think Rodwell, is he a possible replacement / cover for Gareth Barry?
Not on that form.
I didn't think it was a stellar debut, if I'm honest. I mean, is it him who gave the ball away for the Lambert goal?
I think so.
Which was an excellent finish. And the thing with Lambert is, we talked maybe a bit last week about how he's looked a little bit shaky in pre-season and how maybe he's found his level and he may not have an impact in the Premier League. But in fairness to him, he came on and scored.
Beautiful goal.
One thing I will say to that though is he's never really in doubt that he can finish in that way. I mean, if you think about it, that sort of side of finishing is not going to be any different whatever league
the loose ball sort of.
Yeah, it's just whether he'll consistently be afforded the space or be able to sort of take the pace and stuff.
Well, that's a start. I mean, like,
brilliant start. Yeah, absolutely.
But it's quite no. But he has to start matches, I suppose.
Oh, of course,
well,
yeah.
It was an interesting decision.
Well, yeah, the Brazilian
Prado
was played instead. I mean, Lambert and Billy Sharp were on the bench. I was slightly surprised at that.
Do you think it's just because possibly Rodriguez and that give them a bit more energy and they need to be?
Well, maybe if they've gone for a 4-3-3,
hot day as well. Not going to have much of the ball.
Southampton, though, they look as though they've wrapped up the signing of Uruguayan international Gaston Ramirez from Bologna for nearly £12 million. It's a big signing.
Get your money on the table.
He looks rather like Kenny Pervy for me.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, he's got quite sort of like, he's got a lovely sort of a hard face, but a lover's face.
I won't claim to be the author of this information because people just think it's me being bitter about Southampton. Yeah, which I am, but this is not relevant to this. A few South American people like Rupert and Tim Vickery and that have said that he may not be that great in the Premier League.
No.
1.6 key passes in Serie A last year, but they didn't score that many.
He made one.
I don't know how you make a sixth of a key pass.
It's obviously averaged out, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it's a little strange. But they didn't score many goals.
Yeah. Well, Ramirez is talking big ahead of his move there. He said, "The English club has reached an agreement with me. It's the classic offer that you can't refuse."
Yeah.
So money has been put on the table. Yeah.
But I think that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
It's the Portsmouth model.
He went on to say, "I will be essential, and above all, they're going to grow." his club rather than his balls, probably. Yeah. They have told me they are going to build, and that is very stimulating. I'm looking forward to this guy.
Yeah, I liked Tevez's goal. I know he's slightly offside, but the finish, he gave the keeper the eyes, didn't he? Yeah. See it?
Yeah.
Lovely one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they clawed it back, didn't they? Put them under all sorts of pressure. Poor old Southampton, Nasri and Dzeko, yeah, the other way around. And well, they got out of jail, City.
Yeah. Sign of a good
3 points.
All that.
Etc. Etc.
It was a compulsive match.
A compulsive match.
A fiver.
And they got compulsive 3 points for winning. Good start for both teams, really. Do you know what I mean? Southampton will certainly be encouraged a lot by that.
I don't think they'd have been too... well, they'd be happy with the way they played.
Yeah.
They probably would have been reasonably happy to play them first out of the season like that, because they're not necessarily going to be firing on all cylinders. They're not in their groove.
That's right.
Yeah, you've got to play them at some point.
It's the toughest game of the season out of the way.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be playing them in December when you get that run of games over Christmas and they're on the back of about 8 wins in a row. You don't want to be playing them then.
No, that's right. One of the other newly promoted sides, Aston Villa at home, is not the toughest game they will face this season. And it was West Ham, and they won 1-0. Kevin Nolan's back.
Yeah. That was at West Ham, that game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Home to Aston Villa, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a missed Carlton Cole chance, which is... that's when you know the season's back, isn't it? Is it really back? It is now. Yeah. And was it I think the first yellow card might have gone to Stoke as well. Now we're on. Lovely stuff.
Well, yeah, so it was a good one for West Ham, but Reading got a last-min pen.
Yeah, and
Stoke's goal was terrible, goalkeeper.
Oh,
Rob Green-esque.
Yeah, but it was good for Reading that they got a point.
I felt for Federici because he's been... I saw him play at the Medeski last season and he was excellent. Really was good.
Yeah.
And I think with goalkeepers, it's a different sort of thing, isn't it? And there's nothing to say that goalkeepers can't perform in the Premier League at the top level if they perform in the Championship, because they're either decent or they're not, you know. I felt for him. I think he will have a good season, though.
Yeah, so a win, a draw and a loss for our three newly promoted sides.
Yeah, mixed bag.
Mixed bag. Chelsea started the season... started the match against Wigan incredibly well. 2 goals in about 7 minutes. Eden Hazard was at the centre of much of what they did. Nice assist and won the penalty.
Yeah, everyone was slagging him off pre-season, so that he hadn't really performed up to his high standards. But yeah,
well, he wasn't great in the Community Shield, was he? I think he was excellent against Wigan, I really did. But in fairness, on the other hand, I didn't think Wigan were too bad.
Should have scored. And Gomez, it's really weird when you see a player do an overhead kick like that and connect so well, it's so close, and it flashes wide.
It's quite a long way wide as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was like, what? You were expecting it to burst the
destiny.
Net, you know?
He adjusted his body well, and the technique was superb, wasn't it? But it was quite a long way wide. The thing about the game against Chelsea is, as you said, they conceded a couple very early on, but overall they weren't bad.
No, they weren't.
They knocked it about nicely. It was just they started off, they were still on the beach. First 10-15 minutes they were dreadful. After that, they were okay though.
Yeah, Lamps opening his account.
Yeah,
But no, I thought Hazard was good. I mean, it was the type of play when he won the penalty. He won that penalty. Mm. Yeah, he went over a little bit easy, but it was a pen, no doubt about that. And that's the kind of play that the English players, you draw the foul. We've talked about this so much. It was such clever play.
Mm. Yeah,
it really
and
was.
And then he sort of goes off after sort of 60 minutes or so, and Oscar comes on, and you're like, bloody hell. Wigan, it's a hot day, Wigan. You've got, for God's sake.
Indeed. But Chelsea's neighbours Fulham were the talk of the town. They beat Norwich City 5-0.
Norwich was so bad.
And a top of the league on alphabetical order.
Norwich was so bad.
They were, weren't they?
Really disorganised.
Great debut for Petridge.
Yeah.
Scoring a couple. And
good player, been around a bit.
He has indeed, yeah. Clint Dempsey wasn't missed.
What do you think about that Clint thing? Because you've been to see Fulham quite a lot, so
he's
an important player for them. But how do you feel about the old attitude of it? I'm not, it doesn't really sit that nicely with me.
Well, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because any group of fans, you know, if a player reportedly refuses to play and try and forces a move, then it is a bit of a slap in the face.
Mm.
However, you don't know what the discussions are behind.
Well, Clint Dempsey has said on Twitter, the truth will come out soon, and he hasn't.
Well, tell us it then.
Yeah. That's it.
Just say it now. You're not losing anything.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Martin Jol, I think, handled himself very well, as he often does. And he said that the fans shouldn't do that to Dempsey. He said, look, Dempsey's been a great player for this club. Let's not forget what he's done. Because there was a chance of, are you watching Clint Dempsey? Which is, again, very polite for Fulham. It would be a hell of a lot worse, you know.
Yeah. Like, maybe they genuinely wondered if he saw the game or not.
Yeah. Are you watching?
It's a good game. It's always
playing really well.
Yeah.
You'd have loved this.
Yeah.
Well, if Dempsey... I mean, I think Jol is... hoping that he can get Dempsey to stay, so he probably doesn't want to say anything too harsh. And if Dempsey turned out for them next week. The Fulham fans will be like, well, don't you do that again anytime soon, all right? You
know? Naughty boy.
That's right.
I was thinking about it and thinking the only angle I could possibly defend Dempsey on would be perhaps he doesn't really want to get injured. But at the same time, there's apparently not been any bids for him. So at time of recording, there's not been any bids. So surely, and let's be honest, look at it another way. If he does go to a new club, surely he wants to be as match fit as possible to get on the team. So you think he'd want to play.
Well,
that said, they haven't missed him, have they?
So no, that's matter. Right.
He's probably looking at that result and going, that's backfired.
Yeah. Kataniklic, good debut. Mm. Well. I think it was a debut for him.
He played well anyway.
On the score sheet. Yeah, everyone got on in the act. Damien Duff was there. A great win for Fulham, actually.
What did you think of Norwich?
Well, we said they were very poor. You know, very poor indeed. It's not a good start for them. And Chris Hughton.
Pity.
Yeah, shame, but...
Baptism of fire.
I thought a good two... I mean, it's early to say, because obviously we've only had one game, but I thought a good couple of those players looked like they weren't that happy with Lambert not being there anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, it's worrying for Norwich fans and for Hughton, because he's... You know, he's had this situation where he's obviously come out of jobs with great credit before at Newcastle and Birmingham. Mm-hmm.
He's never really had a fight for the dressing room, though, has he? He's kind of either been handed it, sort of going. There wasn't that much disarray at Birmingham. You would argue.
But I also think it's
he was liked at Newcastle.
Of course, he was.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, but he was kind of like he inherited it, and it was kind of.
But you don't think it's a different job, though, isn't it? The job he's got now is essentially trying to keep him in the Premier League, and that can get really tough.
Yeah. Very true.
It's a different sort of skill set, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a game that was the last day of the season. And Norwich had nothing to play for. That's how they looked to me.
Basically, they looked like Wigan looked for the first 10 minutes, but for the whole game.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Hence the five goals.
Yeah.
Rather than two. But then, just up the road, there was another five goals, another 5-0. Mm. And it was to the away team, Swansea. Yeah. Like Mickey Laudrup. What a start.
Do you know what I'm saying? I was thinking that... I was chatting to a couple of people, and they were saying that QPR had a really good pre-season.
Yeah.
Yeah, they played well. And Swansea had an awful pre-season, apparently. But it's completely flipped reverse. And also, if you look at the first day of last season,
4-0.
They got spanked, didn't they, by Bolton, who eventually
Bolton went down.
Yeah, exactly.
So watch out, Swansea.
Yeah. Rob Green will be very, very disappointed.
Look, Pete, a QPR team consisting of just to pick out a few, Rob Green, Anton Ferdinand, Fabio Tarrat, and Park Hoylett and Cisse, Andy Johnson on the bench, Bobby Zamora on the bench, as well with Ryan Nelson and Sean Wright Phillips.
There's enough there.
5-0 at home. you've got to be pissed off if you're a QPR fan.
Well, I Park Ji-sung as captain, though. You just sort of think, I know he captains
career,
but I know he captains career, but I'm sort of thinking.
Yeah, but Tarrat was a previous captain, so they're going in the right direction.
Barton was, wasn't he? But I guess that,
right direction. They've had some humdiggers, haven't they?
It's the opposite.
Paul Merson referred to QPR's defence as the three Scrooges. I know it kills brain cells, but bloody hell.
The three Scrooges would have worked if they hadn't conceded any goals. They're not giving
that's it,
away.
That's it, yeah.
It could have worked. It could have worked.
And they were playing three at the back.
The thing is, one thing I would say to defend QPR.
Someone's got it.
Were they playing three at the back? I didn't see that. Anyway, the one thing I would say
is,
first day of the season, boiling hot day.
Yeah.
You know, people were saying that it was, you know, near 40 degrees inside Loftus Road.
Right.
Yeah. You're playing against a team who kicked the ball all day.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Oh, yeah.
Cause, and you make an early error like Rob Green did. Mitchell played excellently. We said he's a great player, but Rob Green makes the error. It sets the stall out. Then Swansea, all they've got to do because they're a goal up is keep it all day. And you get picked off. Yeah. I'm not defending them because it shouldn't have been five, obviously. Yeah. But it's hard. Harder than it seems.
Zonal. That's what she does. Indeed. I mean, Swansea were fantastic. Michu, the high scoring midfielder in La Liga last season.
Yeah.
It didn't take long to open his account. His second was superb as well.
Beauty.
Lovely little clipped one in the corner.
It's like, you know, it's one of those things where he's picked that exact spot and he's just stroked it in there.
That's right. Yeah. He looks like a centre forward with the nine on his back and the way he moves. And
quite big and tall and strong, isn't
he? Yeah, exactly. Right? Nathan Dyer.
Technique till Tuesday.
Nathan Dyer getting two as well, and Scott Sinclair. Oh, Michael Laudrup will be happy.
Yeah.
It's good to see Michael Laudrup, isn't it, on the bench in England, I think.
He cuts a youthful vigour.
Yeah. Well, if he doesn't stay long, he's always got that result to pull back on.
He should go now.
Away from home, 5-0.
Yeah, I've completed the Premier League.
Yeah.
And there's also reports from Loftus Road that Joey Barton's perhaps off to Marseille.
Yeah, it's not been confirmed, though, has it? He's not.
I'd love it to happen.
It's a good move for me.
Yeah?
You know, he's always mouthing off, and if he doesn't speak the language, it's good.
To a country where they won't...
He's got Rod Fanny at right back. That's going to be no end of humour.
the thing being that Stephen Mbaye, he's going to go the other way.
Yeah, that's right.
Good midfield player. Yeah, I could play centre-back as well, I think. I don't think Barton's been training with QPR. I don't think he has either. Yeah,
so. Elsewhere in London, there was another clean sheet for the away side, and that was at the Emirates. Arsenal 0, Sunderland 0.
They were knocking on the door.
It's
never been away, isn't it?
It is disappointing, isn't it, really? I mean,
Their movement was excellent at times, though.
Yeah, but...
It was breathtaking at times, but they just could not get past it.
They've got to be beating Sunderland at home. Do you worry it's the same old story for Arsenal? I know it's early days, I know it's the first day of the season, but still, it's the same old result.
The caveat's being what you've just mentioned, but that chance that Giroud had...
Yeah.
You know what? He would not have missed that at Montpellier. No way.
No.
Absolutely no way.
We'd have had old Louis Nicolin on his door after. Yeah.
Lulu Nicolin, yeah.
Yeah, so not a great start for Arsenal.
And what about Song going?
Well, yeah, Song to Barcelona for 15 million.
Big blow for them.
It's funny, isn't it, what Wenger said about that. Wenger said, and I mean, does this worry Arsenal fans? You know, he said he's another good player that leaves us, and there are two things that you feel: always that you did your job, that we take these boys at 17 years of age and we've influenced their career in a positive way.
Apart from the unfortunate turn of phrase, that was a long time ago. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah,
when he brought him in.
Sure. The second is, at their peak, you sometimes lose them, but we've got plenty of midfielders, and we still might bring in somebody. But it just sounds slightly that he's resigned to, well, we're a little bit of a selling club.
Well, people will facetiously say, you know, with a little wink and a little sort of glint in the eye, oh, Arsenal are Barcelona's feeder club, right?
Yeah.
But Barcelona have paid Arsenal £121 million for players in the last 12 years.
It's a good stat.
It's essentially a feeder club. They're essentially a feeder club for Barcelona. Yeah, which is a horrible position to be in as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
But you've got to, I mean, look, Song, okay, he's got his detractors. Jim obviously isn't here this week, but he'll tell you all about him. But there's a chance that there's a sort of slight sort of feeling that he's a good player, but he could be even better.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there was
but he's so important for them. He's such an important player for them.
There was rumours that he was late for training, headers, interceptions.
But do you not think that Song is an important player?
Yeah, of course he is.
He screens that back four. He starts off moves.
How many times have we said Arsenal need a player like that?
Yeah.
And Song was kind of their only player. Yeah. And now they got rid of him.
Hmm. But there's talk of Sahin coming in, who's a good player.
Right.
I mean, he's not played much last season, but I mean, that last season he had at Dortmund, he was superb, really was good. And again, he's not really looking at Madrid because they've got so much quality there. But I think he'd be a good sign for Arsenal, just a straight replacement.
With Arsenal fans, I just can't help but think that the 2011-2012 season will have steeled them, so that no matter how bad it gets the first half of the season, they know they can always recover because, some teams always take the foot off their gas. The Champions League almost
They've not been beaten 8-2 last season. Do you remember that? I mean, that was only a year ago.
That's very true. And Robin van Persie's gone there.
Yeah.
As we sort of touched on last week. Nicholas Bentner is also leaving.
I bet he's attracted some big clubs.
Yeah, well,
the big man.
So he said.
The big dog.
So he says. He did have a moment of wonderful clarity where he said, "It is not an option to stay at Arsenal. That is something neither I nor Arsenal desire." Well, he's getting better.
Fair enough.
But yeah, AC Milan are the favourites.
It's Tottenham Mexico going the other way as well.
Is that right?
I'd love to see him in the Premier
Milan
League.
Don't want any players. they hate
would
having
you,
players.
Would you not want to see...
Yeah, it'd be great.
PM.
It'd be great, but
Bentner and Carroll up front for Milan.
You know that Cassano's moving down the road. Well, not down the road, the same. He's moving to Inter.
He is,
Cassano,
yeah. Oh, it's all going off. It's all going off. We've got the Serie A to look forward to next week, of course.
Just going back to Arsenal real quick.
Yes.
Do you think, in your esteemed opinion, do you think that Barcelona needs Song? Because Villanova said, we're after Song because Busquets can't play every game.
Yeah.
So he's essentially hinting, in a sort of dissimilar way to when Mascherano went there, who's obviously been employed at centre-back since then, and that he's not going to start games. He'd only play games when Busquets doesn't play.
Well, it's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, they have suffered at times, Barcelona, for not having a deep squad and a strength and depth. But then you think to yourself, is there nobody in the youth?
Yeah.
You know, but perhaps maybe at the moment they're not breeding players like that. You know, because, for their wonderful academy and all the rest of it, there might just be a slight little blind spot there for that particular position. Hence, they've signed Mascherano and now Song. Mascherano seems very happy in the centre of defence, and that seems to be where he's played. So if you need another player like that, I mean, Song, I wouldn't put him in the same category as, say, Busquets, but he is used to playing in a team which is all about passing and one thing or another. So I think it's a fair bit of business for Barcelona. They've got
and he's at a good age. He's not.
Yeah, exactly. Not
but here's why I've got a little inkling that it may not work out for him at Barcelona, purely because one thing that Jim says quite a lot is Song's never had anyone to push him. Never had anyone to sort of... He's always sort of swanned around. He knows his place in the team's pretty secure at Arsenal. at Barcelona, it's not going to be like that.
But he's 24.
Yeah, I know.
This is the time to do it. Yeah.
True. No, I don't begrudge him the move. I just wondered, yeah.
Yeah. But across town, though, to Spurs, yeah. they lost to Pete Donaldson's at Newcastle United 2-1 at the Sports Direct Arena. Denver Bar with a lovely one to get the game going, Peter.
It was nice. Came out of nothing, didn't it?
First goal in a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, since, oh God, when was his last goal? It was a fair while.
Definitely last season.
Spurs 14 hours, I believe.
Spurs need a striker, desperately.
Defoe looked quite lively.
Do a Premier League season with just Defoe. I was pleased Defoe got a goal. He's had a horrible time of it, personally. And
I like Defoe. I think he's a good player, I really do. Mm. I think he's definitely handy to have in there.
I like that Anita got on the... got on the pitch, the lad from Ajax.
Yeah,
he's sort of things that people aren't sure whether they reckon he's going to take up that sort of Tiote. He's going to be like an understudy of Tiote.
Yeah,
or possibly a replacement, or possibly a replacant for the left back, and then what's his name is going to go over to right back to replace Danny Simpson because Santon plays that role for the Italian under 21. So it's kind of all up in the air at the moment. It's going to be interesting to see what sort of team Newcastle have got. September 1st. It's going to be really interesting.
But it's a good win for them.
Mm. Yeah, important. Yeah, good to get. Well, God knows where Pardew's going to be sitting for the next few months.
Yeah. he's been disciplined, charged.
Being a bit pushy. Yeah. He tried to laugh it off, didn't
no
he?
No way you're getting away with that.
The thing is, they cut off the start bit where he says, I'm embarrassed or whatever, and then he went into, oh, it's a bit, like, he started laughing sort of thing. So I think it's disingenuous.
He tried to laugh it off. Oh, yeah, silly me.
But in the BBC interview, he said that, but in the Sky interview, I believe, or one of the other interviews, he said,
I meant to hurt him.
No, he said, he won't do that again. No, he said, oh, no, he was just in my way and I just couldn't see. Which is absolute bullshit.
That's Terry-esque.
But I thought Anita
was off balance.
You can't have that.
When Anita came on, he looked a little bit nervous. Just a few heavy touches, but he settled into it. Okay,
I thought he looked quite sparky. You only had 20 minutes, you know.
But I tell you, it was a little subplot here with Spurs. Because I thought they played well, actually.
I thought they did.
And more shots and a decent amount of possession away from home. But Huddleston said something. I might be getting the wrong end of the stick here, but Tom Huddleston piped up on Twitter saying something quite sort of cryptic. Because obviously he didn't play, did he?
Yeah.
And he piped up saying, oh, respect needs to be earned, or it's a two-way street or something like that. So you wonder if he's had a little bit of a...
Well, Vias Boas obviously did that when he came into Chelsea. Ruffled a few feathers. And has he maybe done that?
He's the new Lampard.
Yeah. Well,
Huddleston's been out for a while, hasn't he?
He has been out for a while, yeah.
What was
good about Spurs, though, at times, they were doing that thing that like Barcelona do when they close players down, and they often, like, in twos or threes,
yeah,
and really, really get the ball back. OK, they lost one thing or another, but it could be an interesting season for them.
I think, yeah, I really do. I'd be positive if I was a Spurs fan. I think Vias Boas is a good fit. He'll have a good long-term future there, hopefully. And as long as the players react to him and they get on a sort of on a level, I think they'll do well. I saw patches of that as well. I thought they were really good in patches at Spurs. And I think if they had a decent striker, I mean, it's talk of Llorente or someone like that, I think he'd have lapped it up, Llorente.
Yeah. Would you be feeling positive if you were a Liverpool fan, Pete?
No. No, they looked a shadow. But they've had a really good pre-season. They've looked really, really good, Liverpool. But they just felt a bit very, very, very bizarre.
Zoltan Gyökeres.
It's an excellent goal, isn't it?
And Zoltan Gyökeres.
Yeah, Hansen really got on Liverpool's back about that goal, but I didn't think there was much more else I could do. Johnson closed him down really quickly. And, you know, you've got to mark a man in the penalty area rather than the outside the area, and he closed him down. It was just a great hit, wasn't it? It's a decent hit.
It was the epitome of a decent hit.
I don't think Liverpool were that bad, actually.
No, I don't think they were. I thought they were the better side, and then Agger got sent off. Slightly harsh, I thought.
Yeah, Skirtle fell over, didn't he? And it sort of made it difficult for Agger after that.
Yeah, and then... I didn't think he actually fouled him.
You don't think it was... I thought it was a foul.
Did you?
I thought it was a soft one. It was unfortunate. Long knew what he was doing.
Pete, you got the deciding vote.
I didn't see it, actually. Michael, so
you blinked and missed it. Went that quickly. But Agger was sent off, and also Joe Cole came
off. I saw Joe Cole coming off.
Blinking,
you missed that.
And then he went off again. Lukaku scored and looked very strong.
Good he part. Looked very old.
He did. Is he about 19 or something ridiculous like that?
Born in Antwerp. I keep fastidious records in Belgium. you can't question it. He's just a big old unit, isn't he?
A big old unit.
Some people. I thought Shane Long obviously felt guilty about it because the penalty he took was so bad.
Yeah.
It's charitable to say
another
the least.
Bad penalty.
Yeah, really. It's one of those Yakubu penalties. We talked about that before. Yakubu always scores them, but if you miss them, they look terrible.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, if you go up to the keeper and wait for him to move and he doesn't move, you've got to have a plan B.
Drill it.
Yeah.
Top left.
That's it.
Yeah, or put top left drilled in your plan A.
Eat the ball.
A Steve Sidwell.
Do a Kirby, spit it out at high speed.
Sidwell's pen for Fulham.
Yeah, no mucking around there.
no one's saving that.
Suarez, again, was almost unplayable at times. He just can't score. If he had the scoring boots, he'd get 40 a season.
He missed more chances than any other player called Luis Suarez that weekend.
That's
insight.
Speechless.
The only other game, of course, in the Premier League that we haven't talked about is Manchester United-Everton, which at the time of recording hasn't finished. So we're going to zoom on to the Championship.
Everton are winning 1-0. Fellaini's just scored an header. So, yeah,
well,
deal with that.
Well, bugger me.
Might end that way, it might not. It's football, isn't it?
Yeah.
Game of two halves.
Championship.
Suck it.
Cardiff beat Huddersfield, newly promoted Huddersfield, 1-0 with an injury time winner. So good start for Cardiff. Shame for Huddersfield. But they'll pick up points elsewhere, one would think.
Well, there goes 45 games left. So if you're listening, Huddersfield fans, I'd be very surprised if you don't.
But Charlton, who went up with them, they drew 1-1 away to Birmingham. Chris Powell's men, who were magnificent last season, getting a point, although Ziggich with an injury time equalised. Elsewhere, though, Zola's men, Watford, they had a good start. Two goals in the last 2 minutes against Crystal Palace.
Great goal from Vidra.
I'm not going to argue.
From Udinese, he's one of the two.
He gets the goal, whatever he's called.
One of the two loanees, because they obviously own Watford and they also own Udinese. But I thought there was rules for that. You weren't allowed to...
I think it's okay if it's in a different country. I think it's not in the same country. That's
different postcodes, mate.
Yeah.
But they finished third in Serie A. I'm not having that.
Yeah. You can't just give. Well, they did.
Well, it happened.
Can't just give
so you have to have it.
I'm having that
bit.
Are you
calling them out? Are you saying there's some dodgy dealings going on? Because you're probably right about that.
Yeah. There's already rumours flying around.
Get Di Natale on loan down there.
Pete Chopperley.
You having that?
Oh, well, come on.
Tony Chris was at loan at Watford.
Hey? Blimey O'Reilly. Blackburn.
Yes.
They went away to Ipswich and drew 1-1. Colin Kazim Richards, remember him?
He got
Blackburn's equaliser.
No, I think they scored first, mate. I think Jason Lowe scored the own goal to equalise.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
There's been
some great soap opera stuff around there.
It always is, though.
Shebby Singh, global advisor.
Yes.
Every club needs one.
Oh.
Yeah, especially in Championship level.
Well, if you're looking global. Yeah.
Keane was livid. Well, he was livid in a way that a man who was having said that, sort of someone who said it was had a lot of power over him could be. He couldn't be any more livid than that because he would have probably got sacked.
Yeah.
But Shebby Singh, the advisor, said something like, if he loses three games in a row, he's out.
Yeah, but then didn't he apologise for that? He sort of said, I shouldn't have said that.
But yeah, you're right, you shouldn't have said that.
If he gets relegated three seasons in a row, he's probably out.
And
he probably won't be, though.
And he also said that Morten Gauss Pedersen is a pensioner.
Did he?
Bit out of order.
Wow.
I think he looks great for his age.
Brilliant for his age, yeah.
He's got a good website. Was that Pedersen who had that good website?
I believe so, yeah.
All right. Interesting, eh? And then, Leeds. They got off to a good
start.
They
look really, really good.
Paddy Kenny assist. Absolute raker of a ball from the free kick.
He can deliver the ball like nobody's business. And that's, in that league.
He can deliver a pie to his mouth like nobody's business.
That was against Wolves.
It was.
Poor old Wolves.
Relegated Wolves.
Oh, yes. So the Championship is off and running.
You've got to talk about Owen Corr's reception back at Burnley.
Back at Burnley, yeah, that's right.
It was a roaster.
Bolton.
You got absolutely roasted. Bolton were utterly shit as well.
They lost 2-0 to Burnley.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. In League One, Creepy Crawley. Crawley Town 3, Scunthorpe 0. A lot of talk about Crawley Town. There's a good start for them.
Gary Alexander in the Premier League, that's what we want. Another plodder.
If something really hits home about Pompey's predicament, it's that they're now below Crawley Town in the league.
But Portsmouth in the big South Coast derby.
Yeah. The only South Coast derby. Biggin.
That'll be there for a while.
The box office biggin.
As the Scots would say, Portsmouth 1, Bournemouth 1.
Yeah. Portsmouth fielded 11 debutants for the first time ever, is that right?
Since the start of the league.
Since the start of the first Ramble match.
Went a goal up through journeyman Isael McLeod.
If you want to be the best.
Apparently, I was supposed to be going to Fratton Park for that, but my washing machine exploded.
Your washing machine exploded?
Yeah.
I imagine they did the amount of new shirts they had washed.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was apparently pumping down there, but they couldn't hold on for the win.
Pumping Pompey.
There's always next week.
The Luke Moore story.
They're going to go on League Two.
Shut up, please.
Oh.
Shut up now.
There's no need for that, Peter. No need for that. Your side got relegated recently, so you should know that.
And to be fair, we were in the pub when it happened, and I did laugh at you. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
How much punishment can a Pete take? Now, before we leave the Great British Isles, we've got to talk about the SPL. Because there was a big derby going on there. Dundee United 3, Dundee 0. And it's the two closest teams in all of Dundee. And
they are very close, aren't they?
They are incredibly close. I've seen it. It's a stone throw.
Yeah.
Don't throw a stone.
A strong arm it would have to be, but still, you get the picture. United, Dundee, of course, are top of the league.
Well, I'm telling you,
it's anybody's this year. So yeah.
Hearts are 1 point off the top. Go on, the boys.
But Dundee United have got a game in hand. Hearts 2-0 up, I think it was, against Inverness Kelly, and Inverness Kelly injury time equalisers. Poor.
Yeah,
it's piss poor, that.
Did you see the Falkirk Stadium PA announcer was sacked for referring to Rangers as the Sevco franchise?
Oh, really?
Announcers always have a bit of a dig. It's just one of those things. Ali McCoy
did Rangers sack him?
No, but because some Rangers fans were angry about it. It's like, sod off.
Get over it, yeah.
It's a PR no-brainer not to do that. It's not like, get lost. You know, we're supposed to be...
Get him off the wage bill.
But also, like, Ali McCoy was actually asked about it, and he goes... To be honest, I've got more things to worry about. I've got bigger things on my plate.
I can remember.
I've got a new chat show coming with Frank McCauley.
I don't think I was actually there, but I remember someone telling me that there was a game once where Paul Durkin was a referee and he had an absolute shocker.
Yeah.
And
Paul Durkin.
He might have set a player off in the first half or something like that anyway. And apparently the announcer, when the teams came out from the second half, he went, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the Paul Durkin show."
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I think you might have got sat for that as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely worth it.
I think my one coming out of Hartlepool playing Darling, actually. I think it was a local derby, and they scored in the last minute to make it 1-1, and Hartlepool had been leading the whole match.
The announcer chalked it off.
And the announcer went, "I hope you enjoyed the 89 minutes of entertainment this afternoon." PA announcers, get involved.
It's because they obviously are fans, so it's fine.
Shortats@thefootballramble.com.
Yeah. There you go. Chris Commons with an injury time equaliser for Celtic. Ross County so nearly beating Celtic so early on in the season. I'm telling you,
Rangers went a goal
this
down.
This is the league to watch.
Rangers
this
went a goal down as well, you know.
Rangers?
Yeah, they went a goal down.
Celtic?
No, Rangers went goal down.
Sorry, I was
three.
Talking about Ross County Celtic.
Yeah, sorry, Rangers actually went behind.
Oh. Marcus was talking about Ross County Celtic. Do you mind, Luke?
Sorry.
If you're going to interrupt, Dale's not the time. All right? Save your introduction of the profile or something unimportant.
All right, apologies.
Great free kick from Ross County to go ahead.
Needless to say, I didn't see it.
You did, because I showed it to you before we came on. All eyes on the SPL. We're going to leave the Great British Isles now. We're going to go to La Liga, because they started back up, and no sooner had they done, Messi had got a brace.
Yeah.
And Barcelona beat Real Sociedad 5-1. But the big story there was, of course, Dani Alves' beard. And David Villa. David Villa returned.
So I watched the Real Madrid game, but I didn't see the Barcelona game, so tell me about Dani Alves' beard.
He looks like a baddie out of a Bruce Lee film.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, you'll love it, mate.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
But David Villa, good to see him back.
Yeah.
He got booked for celebrating, I hear.
He took his top off.
Dear, I did.
But he had a T-shirt on, so he was respectful.
Tevez did that as well again, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he had a little message. Did that as well. He had a message for his family, David Villa.
Tevez. Oh, did he? Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
It was brilliant because one of the AP reporters reported Nasri as taking his top off and saying... He reported that it said Fabrice Muhammad or something, but it didn't. It was a Muslim.
Eid Mubarak, wasn't it? The end of the Ramadan, yeah.
And then he detracted and said, "Sorry." Sorry, I did not say that.
The word sort of looks the same. So
we'll have it.
Journalists should really be able to read, though. That's like a minimum idea.
They should be at least on nodding terms with Muslim celebrations.
Etymology.
So Barcelona, I mean, they were magnificent, of course. 5-1 against Real Sociedad. And after about an hour, 70 minutes, they brought on Andres Iniesta. And David Villa and all the rest of it. It's the same old thing, but a great start for them. But Real Madrid dropped points at home to Valencia.
Yeah, I saw that game. Actually, Valencia had a decent goal chalked off wrongly.
Harshly ruled out.
Yeah,
offside.
But
Pellegrini wasn't happy, was he?
No, he wasn't. He's a good looking lad as well, Pellegrini. There was a whole host of chances for Madrid, though, to be fair. It gave you that impression of that they were just trying a bit too hard.
Yeah.
But they hit the bar and one or two other bits and pieces. They were unlucky not to win it, actually.
Yeah, but the big game of the weekend there was surely Bilbao 3-5. Betis went 3-0 up
At Bilbao,
we should say. Betis went 3-0 up and looked fantastic, and then Bilbao came roaring back 3-3 after 76 minutes, and then Betis scored 2 in the last 10.
Some lovely goals.
That's the kind of entertainment we want.
Me and Marcus disagreed on the fourth goal not being a peach. I said it was brilliant, and you said it was not that good.
Well, you like the setup.
Football. I did like the setup more than that.
First of all, it's in the back of the net, so it was good.
No, not a peach.
No, fair enough.
I thought the third one actually was
any threads.
The pick of the bunch. Okay, it was so many.
Yeah.
Not off the top of my head, but on my head.
We always like to see a thread.
Indeed, we do. So La Liga is up and running. So that's good to see. Let's go to League where. The Paris Saint-Germain have dropped more points. They drew away to Ajaccio.
Ancelotti got the arsehole, didn't he?
Did he?
Kicked a water bottle and got sent off.
Oh my.
Did a pardew.
Yeah. I did like this. According to a friend of the Ramble, Andy Brassel, the home-sized Senegalese midfielder, Ricardo Fatty, was back to his best.
How you like that, dear?
Fatty best.
Got a surname called Fatty.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Tick.
Yeah, in La Liga, I think the record for the youngest ever goal scorer was broken, wasn't it?
In La Liga?
16-year-old boy scored. I forget his name now. Annoying. I should have looked it up. Yeah, it's 16.
Oh, right.
Yeah, should have mentioned that in the La Liga section. Sue me.
Marvellous. Back to France, though. Lavezzi was sent off. And Ancelotti was sent to the stands for kicking a water bottle onto the pitch. Mm. Hence the arsehole.
Yeah, got the arsehole.
So they're not doing very well.
And then all the lights went out in injury time as well.
Yeah. Right, that's it. We're happy with the point.
It's a conspiracy.
A knockabout affair.
Yeah.
I think were they without Zlatan and Thiago Silva, I think, PSG.
Got a big job in their hands, you know, but the only thing going for them in terms of that, because you know it's difficult when all these big names come in, but Ancelotti's an experienced helmsman, isn't he? So you think that sort of thing wouldn't happen, but it has.
Oh, I've never used the word helmsman.
Yeah. Montpellier owner Luis Lulu Nicolin.
Nicolin.
He's had his first one this season.
Good lad.
You remember him last season? He's a bit racist, a bit homophobic.
Dyed his hair blue and orange when they won the league. Remember?
Yeah, all that 60s. Kind of stuff. He's a shocking character, shall we say? He's the French Gigi Becali.
Doing the court.
He's the French Gary Cook.
He's not happy about other clubs showing interest in Mapu Yanga Mbuiwa. And he said, they need to stop pissing me off. If Mapu doesn't like to stay, he'll go in the reserves. At some point, the club owners have to say stop, otherwise we'll be eaten alive.
That'll take some time with him. He's the EU butter mountain.
When we have crap players and nobody wants them, we have no choice but to keep them. So we'll be totally strict. If he stays, it'll prove the size of my balls. Someone just goes around with a microphone right close to me.
I want that job.
He's Mr. Creosote, isn't he?
Oh dear. But I can trump that one.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Because we're going to Romania.
We're going
to Romania.
I smell some poor pronunciation.
But it's
I smell some horrible bigotry.
It's not Becali.
Oh, okay. Is there a young pretender to the throne?
Becali was going off about Lady Gaga. Apparently, he wasn't happy about that. But but Astra owner Ioan Nicolae, he went off the rails on Romanian TV about his son. He was going on about the current coach of Bogdan Stelia.
Oh, goalkeeper Bogdan Stelia. Who did they used to play for?
Oh, you're right.
He's definitely a goalkeeper.
He was in goal for the national side.
Right, okay.
I think.
Yeah, he was definitely.
Would have been Bucharest. Would have been Stoia.
Who knows?
Who knows? But he was certainly a person back in the day. And he Nicolae went. He snapped on air. He was ranting on air on live television.
Right.
And he just suddenly went, "We're the worst team in the league." That's it. Stelia is sacked. He just sacked the manager in a fit of rage on stage, on air. And then apparently...
That's dynamite, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, he saw in the crowd, in the studio audience, there's a man called Georgi Multescu, or Gigi Multescu, who's a former Astra coach. And he spotted him and he went, "Look, I've already found the man to take over. Gigi, give me a call after the show. You've already worked with me in the past. We can do it," or something like that.
It's a good job he was there. I'd be like, "You, the floor manager, you have got manager in your name."
Imagine if it was just like somebody looked like him.
The best boy.
I'm already in a job.
Yeah.
You're out of it there, son. Oh, marvellous.
Dearie me.
And that leads us neatly on to Pete's game. What am I calling it?
Pete's game. Well, obviously, I was tasked with coming up with a replacement to Going for Glolls.
It's another new game, is it?
Well, no, you weren't happy with, you know, you said that
Million pound drog
was too similar to Going for Glory, so I've come up with a new game this
week.
Okay. Please welcome to the show, 15-1. 15-1.
I've got up to all of that.
Sold. 50-1. Excellent stuff.
Right. Who am I?
Oh.
My first professional club was Wolverhampton Wanderers, or Wolverhampton Wanderers, not Wolverhampton Hundle, in 1985.
Stop. Stephen Bull.
No, it was not Steve Bull. I am now a level 3 FA coach. At the Southampton Academy. I was a goalkeeper.
Stop. Oh, no, I forgot his name.
Damn it. Stelios. We're going to have Stelios from EasyJet.
No. Oh, go on.
Damn.
Go on.
I once played just 11 games in 4 seasons.
Stop. Oaks.
No.
Ah.
That season was 1994-95.
Well, you said 4 seasons. 11 games in 4 seasons.
Yeah, but exactly, in 4 seasons. But those 11 games came in the 94-95 season.
Oh. Okay.
I ended my career at Gillingham.
50-1 is too hard. This game is too hard.
My career was ended prematurely by an opposition goalkeeper.
What?
Hang on a minute. I might have... No, go on, carry on.
Last clue. I most notably played for Arsenal.
Stop. John Lukic.
No.
No, that's poor. Of course he'd never.
Stop. No, I was going to say Stuart Taylor.
No, it's not Stuart Taylor. He just signed for somebody.
Go on.
I'm closing down 50-1. It's Vince Bartram.
Oh, Vince!
His career was ended. It's fascinating. His career was ended prematurely by an opposition goalkeeper coming up for a header and crunching his wrist.
Oh, really? That is a freak injury.
Very sad. Very sad indeed.
Damn! 50-1. It's definitely the hardest one so far.
Balls.
You know.
And now it's time for some correspondence. Yep.
What we have first? Tweets?
We've got a couple of tweets here. This is from Mark Thorpe.
Have you just drawn that on my bloody padded envelope?
That was me, actually. Yeah, sorry about that.
How dare you?
We're in the middle of correspondence here.
In a way, it's poetic. It's correspondence. It's on an envelope. You've got to like that.
I was going to reuse that.
It's like old school, school.
The Guardian sent me a copy of I Am the Secret Footballer.
Which
is mine and Lukey's book of the week.
Mark Thorpe. Ladies and gentlemen, he said that Hearts are only a point off the top of the SPL. Come on, you Gorky boys. Fair enough.
How do you spell Gorky boys?
G-O-R-G-I-E.
Yeah, Gorky.
Oh, Gorky.
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 Yeah.
Gorky. are you sad about the dandy closing?
What?
I was a Beano man, actually.
I was a Beano man.
Oh, I wasn't bothered. I was...
He's teaming up.
Yeah, I was too busy.
Yeah, and the Bruins.
Exactly. Mark Butterworth has tweeted in saying, I don't like this one. This is a good observation. Has Gareth Bale had his ears done?
I've looked at this and I think he might have done. I think his ears look markedly different this season than they did last season.
Yeah, it's an
and I implore all listeners to have a look at that. I'll try and get a photo of it up on the website or something.
Is that why he was not involved in Team GB-er?
Yeah. Ooh, because he wasn't injured, was he?
No.
Who knows? Conspiracy afoot.
Yeah.
And before we go on
ear,
to...
It was definitely the ear.
Before we go on to your...
He did an Aaron Bassam, which was the kid from my school. I had his ears pinned back.
So, no one's going to know that,
anybody from Elden Grove Primary School in Hartlepool? So.
In the house? Anyone in the house?
Hello.
Right, before we go to the profile, I want to do my Facebook moment of the weekend.
Do you?
On facebook.com/footballramble, which is obviously our Facebook page, I invite the users of the page to vote for their moment of the weekend.
Ooh,
and,
lucky things.
Then I do a 3-1 countdown. Sure. So this week, in at number 3, is Pompey fielding 11 debutants and getting a draw.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In at number 2 is Stephen Taylor's ground level headed pass back for Newcastle. Did you see that?
I didn't think that would be allowed because he used his foot and then he used his head.
But that's fine, that's allowed.
That's it. I clearly don't know the rules of football.
And obviously this week, in at number 1 is... Ricky Lambert celebrates.
Yeah.
We got a lot of that.
Are we ready for the profile?
Yes.
Let's do one. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Yeah.
You lucky little sausages. And we've got the maestro himself. It's Johnny Haynes.
Oh, Fulham legend.
Mr. Fulham indeed. One of the finest passers of the ball England has ever seen. Yeah. Damn it all.
Playing one of those positions that doesn't really exist anymore.
Inside forward.
Yeah.
Yes. He was born on the 17th of October, 1934.
Oh.
Tricks.
33 years before the Summer of Love.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit rusty.
Yeah, sorry, it's new
to
me.
It's a tricky one, to be fair.
It's new to me.
But you were fine.
Not tricky, is it? Maths.
Effectively a one club man, really, Fulham. I mean, we'll move on to that, but really.
And a bear of a man as well.
Indeed, he was. An incredible player. He's one of those, I think, as we move on to say, you know, at Fulham, one of the biggest clubs in the land, and he never moved, and he could have moved. Should he have moved? Because he was fantastic. I mean, everybody who saw him play, and there's a lot of quotes and whatnot, he really was superb, and it was his passing that was the thing that marvelled.
Just like Clint Dempsey. Could have moved, didn't.
I think Juventus might have come in for him famously.
Milan.
Was it Milan? Sorry, yeah. I think it was an Italian club. And he actually did an interview, which is quite, I suppose, reasonably rare for the time.
Yeah.
Where he said, they're offering me more money. But he said it in a very well-spoken, nice way. They're offering me more money, but I'm happy here.
Yeah, indeed. Well, he was. I mean, he's the club's record appearance holder with 657 games.
Yeah.
And his 157 goals was a record until Gordon Davis broke it in 1989. But he was said to be one of the prototypes of the modern footballer. Showed elements of arrogance, played the game in a very entertaining and fast-thinking way, and became the first £100-a-week footballer.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
The negotiations were really weird, weren't they?
They were indeed, but we'll move on to that. So he moved to Fulham as a young lad, despite being from North London. This was because his friend Tosh Chamberlain was there and encouraged him to join.
You don't get people called Tosh Chamberlain around here. More's the pity.
He turned professional at 17, which was the youngest age you could back then, made his debut at 18, and became a fan's favourite soon after. And he's a very outspoken chap, even at a young age, and... even not long after he became a first-team regular, he would happily air his discontent on the field if his high standards weren't kept by his fellow teammates. Some of the players Fulham had back then, you know, I mean, Bobby Robson, of course. Bobby Moore would kind of take over from him. And Big Jimmy Hill.
Oh, yes.
Big Jimmy Hill. But it really was, I mean, his passing was the thing that people just... said was absolutely irresistible. I mean, many from Sirs Bobby Robson and Bobby Moore to Jimmy Greaves and even Pelé himself. We've always got a quote from Pelé describing him as the best passer ball they've ever seen. And
from the quote generate with Pelé, pull one of those like one-armed bandit things that comes up with
Dropbox.
Yeah.
Just click on it.
Pelé's kind of got the European players and Maradona's got the South American players, isn't it? There's always a quote from one of those two. Yeah.
Do you think we could, before like they both shuffle off this mortal coil, just get them about the ramble?
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
If we could get, if anybody knows Pelé. All.
It's a long shot, isn't it?
So we know Pelé.
Does Pelé know Pelé anymore? For an Englishman in any era, especially the 50s and the 60s, to be an incredible passer of the ball and be described as the best passer of the ball we've seen is quite something. And the type of passes that we think of nowadays, your Xavi and Iniesta through balls and your Alonso diagonals and the short pass and the Busquets and all those kind of things, he was doing that back then, which really is incredible. In the 50s and the 60s, you know.
Heavy ball. When it rains, especially.
England.
Yeah.
You know.
Muddy pitch.
Needles go on.
The thing about, I mean, it's probably true of a lot of clubs, but when I was reading up about Johnny Haynes and watching some of his stuff, one thing that really hit home was... I used to train on the pitch. On the match day pitch.
That's right.
Going to cut it up.
Yeah, and it really did. You'd see towards the end of the video I watched... The pitch is a mess.
Yeah.
It's like no one's thinking, why don't you just go train down the road?
Yeah, that's right.
It's really, to make it even harder, you know.
Yeah. Jimmy Greaves said that Haynes always looked for the difficult ball, especially the through ball. He loved it.
Slips.
And he said Haynes trusted his ability, which I love. You know what I mean? And Bobby Robson said of Haynes, he had this great idea of the penetration of the pass, and he always knew what was the best pass to give. The only problem was that not everyone was on the same page as him all the time, and he would let his teammates
know.
I get
that a lot.
Yeah. Well, one of his little trademarks was hands on the hips.
Yeah.
Just like, you can imagine him playing this pass and... And the statue of him outside of Fulham is one of Hands on Hips.
Is it? Yeah,
which I really like.
Oh, for bugger's sake.
He was captain at 21 of the side as well. Jimmy Hill said he was a bit of a miserable so-and-so on the pitch and would let anybody know if they made a bad pass. But off the field, he was a good bloke. And he said that he'd often sing on the way to games and from games. A bit of Frank Sinatra.
Oh, that's nice.
On the bus.
I'll tell you, that's a bit of Frank Old Cluffy.
Oh, did he?
He was always playing Frank, apparently, yeah. Old Blue Eyes.
Absolutely. He had a decent international career with England, it has to be said, but unfortunately, due to injury, didn't have the best World Cup in 1958, which, you know, it was a shame for England around that time, because England were a very good side, but of course you had the Munich air disaster, you know, a few months before that. But they did have some other good players as well. They did disappoint slightly and went out in the quarterfinal stages. But it was after the World Cup when England played the Soviet Union where he had possibly his best game for England. One of the commentators before the game said Haynes should be dropped. England won 5-0 and Haynes got his only international hat-trick.
Did he fox Yashin?
He did.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Yashin was playing. I'd imagine he would have been, though. Yeah. But 5-0. He also captained England a number of times and led them out against Scotland in a 9-3 win.
Get on that. Sail it home.
And they, yeah, they were great sides, England sides back then, Robson, Greaves and co. And before the 1962 World Cup, England went to Rome to play Italy. And Greaves remembered the game and he said, you know, there's a few minutes left and Italy were 2-1 up. And England weren't really in it. And Jerry Hitchens got an equaliser out of nothing. And the home fans were really pissed off. They just saw it as an injustice. Yeah. England were rubbish. And then Jimmy Greaves, a Milan player at the time.
Yeah.
I think it was in 60 when he poked home the winner in the last minute. And the crowd went mental. Like, they were hating every minute of it. They were throwing insults and all sorts of objects on at the pitch.
If Jimmy Greaves is on the pitch, he's going to score a goal. Yeah. So I was like...
He said what he loved about Johnny Haynes was because everyone was going all mental and being all nasty, and after the final whistle, Haynes did a lap of honour around the pitch.
give me that one. That's brilliant.
Give
it the pants seal. Lovely. Philip as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he's from North London.
Yeah.
Kentish Town, actually.
Yeah.
Around the corner from Ramble HQ.
England, again, sort of disappointed in the 62 World Cup going out to Brazil. And Haynes' international career would soon be over after that. A couple of months later, he was involved in a car crash, damaged his knee ligaments, putting him out for the best part of a year. And Sir Alf Ramsey, despite what some others thought, believe Haynes never quite got back to the player he was. Probably a fair decision from Ramsey. They won the World Cup in 60.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But he earned 56 international caps with 18 goals. And he was the first footballer, I think, to appear for England in every level of football available. In his era, schoolboys, youth, under 23, B and senior.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he played a number of years more with Fulham. And he did love playing at Fulham, you know. They played entertaining football. And he was asked, you know, why he loved Fulham and stayed there. And he said, well, we'd score 100 goals in a season. And then he went on to say that the trouble is we'd also concede 100, which is why we never won the league.
Yeah.
So a lot of goals. But, and as you said earlier, Luke, you know, he was nearly tempted away. £80,000 was the offer from Milan. And he would have been one of the highest paid players in the world, but it did turn into...
Yeah, because around that era, I was looking into this as well, and I forget his name. It might be Tommy Trinder was the owner of
Fulham.
That's
right.
And he was like a star of stage and screen, like a comedian.
He was, yeah.
He was a Fulham fan. He took over the club.
Apparently he was hilarious.
Yeah, the interview with him about Haynes. Yeah. His potential moves, really funny. Yeah, it's so bizarre. Him in his house in his easy chair smoking a cigarette, just sort of being really genial about it.
Yeah.
It's great to watch. I'll put it up on the website.
Well, he would often tell Haynes as he's worth £100 a week.
Yeah.
You know, but I suppose it's quite funny for chairman back then. They could say that kind of thing because there's a £20 a week wage cap.
Yeah.
Ah, he's worth that, he's worth this, because he knows no one's going to pinch you, and then Milan come along. Ooh.
I believe Jimmy Hill was...
Jimmy Hill was head of the PFA, wasn't he?
Instrumental in taking the Max wage cup away, wasn't he?
He was, yeah,
and he did get his £100
Yeah. Trinder sort of stuck to his word, if you know what I mean. And actually, when people think of the salary cap being abolished, they think, oh well, look what it gave birth to. But actually, no, that's not quite true. Actually,
it gave a living wage.
It did. I mean, it was actually not a great wage. And Jimmy Hill and the guys did actually probably do a good thing. Unfortunately, it's gone the other way.
But think about when we profiled Lofthouse, who would be under mines.
Yeah.
At 3 a.m, and then they'd go and play.
Well, exactly.
Because they had to, because they didn't have enough money.
Yeah, Jimmy Hill said, you know, you could have a proper career in football and people would hone their skill and that kind of thing, you know. So
yeah,
it did make sense, So, you know, by the late 60s... you know, Haynes was winding down his career with Fulham, and unfortunately he didn't have a great time at the end of the two relegations, and they kind of dropped down the leagues, but he finished playing about 1970. And after he finished with professional football, he went to South Africa to play for a spell in Durban. And he won the League and Cup out there, which was his only silverware that he ever won, actually. But at least he did win a league.
In the apartheid era.
Yeah. A lot of them, of course, went over there.
Bad to see.
At the time.
Hodgson.
Hodgson was one. Yeah. But quite a few of them did. He was known as the maestro. They loved him down at Craven Cottage. And I think he scored 9 hat-tricks for Fulham.
It's not bad, is it?
It's not too bad, is it? And he retired, obviously, after playing for Durban. And then he would eventually go and live up in Edinburgh, where he ran a dry cleaning business.
Durban to Edinburgh?
To run a dry cleaning
business. Well, it could have been via London. I'm not too sure. But sadly,
he probably wanted the laundrette because he wanted the heat, possibly.
Yeah, that's very true. Back. He was sadly killed in as a result of a car crash in October 2005, just after his 71st birthday. And then a few years later, Fulham renamed the Stevenage Road Stand, the Johnny Haynes Stand, of course, and the statue and whatnot. So he's well honoured down at Craven
Cottage.
He's
not the only one with a statue there, is he?
Big Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In good company.
He gave just as much.
Both entertainers.
If not more.
He didn't stop giving till he got enough.
Very good. Very good.
And then he comes to the Demon Deck all the time. Johnny Haynes. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. If you would like to get in touch with us, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble.
Get on.
And the website is thefootballramble.com.
Facebook.com/footballramble as well. At the website, I've just started doing a new series of videos.
Oh, no.
Not those
Nothing
ones.
Nothing sexual, oh, I've been told,
dirty.
By the YouTube user agreement.
The YouTube union.
It's just me talking to different people about football, and the first one is Andy Top Brass Brassel. He of Five Live World Football Phone-In fame.
He's so others. Clever and so relaxing to listen to.
Yeah.
He's a delightful man.
Little tip for you. If you want to make yourself look like you know nothing about football, do an interview with Andy Brassel, which I have done.
Yeah.
And it's on the website, footballramble.com and youtube.com/footballramble. There's other stuff on there as well.
Loads of things. There's a picture of Kenny Pervy with a Russian hat.
Yeah, yeah, it was Deerstalker hat sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. Nice. If you hate your job, go on thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, there's loads. There's no boss key though. So just if the boss comes, just flip your computer off the desk.
Yeah. And your boss probably loves it as well.
Yeah, he'd be like proper up for
and
the
you,
bants.
And you might get a promotion.
Yeah.
So for crying out loud, I don't know what you're
That's
doing.
That's how it
not
works in adverts for links. Anyway. In high fives. And yeah, Football Ramble. Woo!
And if you're listening, links, we are available for those.
In this hot room, we are. Yeah.
Oh dear. Right. That's enough. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. To go.
Hayley McQueen, I'm ever so keen. Hayley McQueen, I'm ever so keen.
Hayley McQueen, I'm ever so keen. Hayley McQueen, I'm ever so keen.
On Hayley McQueen.
Hey, ah.
Marcus, you know you were saying that about Pele. Does Pele know Pele?
Yes.
I id. The id, no.
I literally have no idea what you're saying.
Did you
I don't get it. What does it
carry
mean?
On.
Tell me a joke?
No.
I would.
I don't deserve it.
I would. I id.
Yes, I'm saving all my love for you.